The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, Licensed Nutrition Counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and because Dr. Slavin let you in on our little secret last week, you know that when I'm doing the opening of the show, we are face-to-face. We're in the studio together doing this broadcast. So, good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. And before we start on today's topic, just let our listeners know we have a seminar coming up on Saturday starting at 10 o'clock right here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. And we're going to cover topics, I think, that are very important. How you can utilize energy medicine to your benefit. And the importance of energy medicine is it's going to pick up things, problems, potential problems, future problems that the typical testing that mainstream medicine does doesn't pick up soon enough. So it's really fascinating how energy medicine can do that. And we're going to talk about infections. We're going to do a little bit about infections today, too, on the program.
Okay, so sounds like very, very important topics for people to be tuning in for this week on Natural Doc Radio. The seminar, if you are interested in attending, 954-748-4991, just to let us know that you will be here so we can plan properly.
And Janet says she's speaking first, but she hasn't told me what she's speaking about.
Okay. I guess I have to figure that one out. Okay.
Maybe by Friday's show we'll know.
Okay.
It's sort of like
how about nutrition? Okay. Or I'll make, if we haven't heard by then, I'll make a prediction about who the vice presidential possibilities are.
All right. So here's what I want to start talking about. The headline really caught my attention, and it's sort of a follow-up. Remember a few weeks ago, we learned about this girl that was swimming in a freshwater lake, I think, and she died of amoebic encephalitis very quickly. It might have been within 24 hours, if I recall, but very quickly. And here's a another infectious disease. Now, that was a parasite. This is a bacteria. The headline was, you can contract fatal bacteria just by sniffing. In other words, you can just inhale it, and it could be fatal. Now, the good news is, this bacteria we're talking about is not here in Florida, or in the United States for the most part, but it's in Southeast Asia and Australia. And the reason I'm bringing this up is just to give you an idea of what bacteria are capable of doing, because I think we underestimate the impact that infections can have. Because with mainstream medicine, we don't try to prevent anything. All they try to do is let you get sick so they can treat it with drugs.
We have the perspective that we've conquered bacterial infections with antibiotics. I think that that's a viewpoint in a lot of people's minds.
So this report goes on to say, maybe it's an exaggeration, maybe not. I'll let Janet comment on that. It starts off saying everything is dangerous. Sitting too much is bad. Washing machines are infestation sites for E. coli. And now the simple act of sniffing can infect you with a bacteria that has a 50% chance of killing you.
Okay, so Janet's comment is this. Everything is dangerous, but you have the information available to you here on Natural Talk Radio that will so support all of the functions of your body, specifically your immune response, and in that way, you lessen the potential danger to you.
And I have to be frank with everyone. I've never heard of this bacteria. But here's what they say about it. We've known for a long time about this bacteria. It's called Burkholderia pseudomallei. And it leads to a disease called melioidosis. And it's found in Southeast Asia and Australia.
And it kills almost 90,000 people a year.
How did you know that?
I'm reading the other side of the paper.
So, but here's what they said. But until now, at least it was published just recently in the journal Immunity and Society, they didn't know how people contracted it. By studying mice, scientists found that the bacteria is transmitted from the nose to the brainstem to the spinal cord in as little as 24 hours.
I should have made you think that I am the world's nutrition expert on melioidosis.
All right, so they go on to say, so let me repeat again, this bacteria is not here in the States, but I'm bringing this up to give you a better idea of just what bacteria are capable of doing. I think we take it for granted that, like Janet was saying earlier, you don't have to worry about bacteria, you'll just take an antibiotic. Imagine walking around and you inhale from the soil or something, you're not even aware of it, and the next day you've got this bacteria in your brain and it's damaging your spinal cord.
You have a fever, because that's the typical response of your immune system to a bacteria. But there are so many people walking around who aren't able to create a fever significant enough to kill off a bacteria.
But here's what makes it even worse. Let's say you walked in the field and you inhaled this bacteria. You might not even know it's there for years and years. The longest known incubation period for the bacteria is 62 years. So in other words, you could harbor this bacteria in your body, and then maybe, years later, you come down with the infection. They say here, one man contacted the bacteria after being taken as a prisoner of war by the Japanese in World War II and had no idea for the next 60 years that he had it. It could just be sitting there in your body, waiting for an opportune moment. Or it could be doing small incremental damage over a lifetime. You could lose the function in your brain incrementally.
You could have those symptoms that you would attribute to arthritis or aging, because bone pain is one of the symptoms of infection with this bacteria.
And think about all the symptoms doctors treat without looking for the underlying cause. They never do. Oh, you have aches and pains? Take this pill. You have heart problems, and we'll get into how bacteria can cause heart problems, bacteria and viruses.
You have headaches? Here, take this pain reliever.
Now, we mentioned earlier, melioidosis kills 89,000 people a year with symptoms such as fever, bone pain, liver abscess. But here's the scary part. Nearly half the population...
There's something scarier?
Nearly half the population in Southeast Asia may have it. And the mortality rate is as high as 50% in places like Cambodia and Northern Australia. What that means is they don't have good treatments for it, or effective treatments.
Okay, this is kind of something that is so unusual, and you would never ever expect that you might be a carrier of this bacteria. And it is for this very reason, Dr. Slavin, that I've elected to do those UVLRX treatments. I don't have anything wrong. I don't have any reason. I don't have an infection. I don't have pain. I don't have... But who knows? I could have melioidosis. I doubt it because I haven't been to Cambodia.
But you could have other infections in your body. And
that's what
UVLRX is good for now.
I talk all the time about subclinical infections, that you don't know what it is that's creating the symptoms that you're dealing with. It can be so varied.
So the word subclinical means you've got the disease going on in your body, but it's causing no symptoms. So you're not likely to go to a physician yet because you have no symptoms. And even if you went to the physician, you said, Doc, check me out. See if I have anything wrong.
Doctor, I'm tired. Doctor, yeah. I have a headache. I don't sleep well.
So he's only going to do a CBC and a chem panel to see if you're sick enough to go into the hospital. Otherwise, he'll put you on an antidepressant and say, we'll see you next time. Now, when I heard about this disease, melioidosis, I had to check it out in other areas. And another headline says, this germ can live for decades, like we said, in distilled water.
Whoa!
And it can kill humans in 48 hours. So that's how lethal this bacteria is. But let me remind everybody again, it's not here in this country yet. But, you know, with travel the way it is, who knows how easily it might be transported here.
Okay, so... Essentially, right now, we know that it is found in the soil, and something that disturbs the soil and you inhale, that is the means of infection. However, what we have learned is these microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, whatever, are very, very well adapted to survive. And in that adaptation process, they may adapt so that they can be transmitted in a variety of different ways.
Now, they say doctors in Southeast Asia and Northern Australia have known about this deadly bacteria for a long time. It causes pneumonia, can cause an abscess, which is a pocket of infection in the body, and in more severe cases, organ failure. And without treatment, it can kill someone in 48 hours. And the military is worried it could be converted into a bioweapon. So the death rate can be high, up to 70%. Studies estimate that there are 90,000 deaths each year from melioidosis, roughly the same as measles and several times that of dengue. So it's interesting that we've never heard of it. You've never heard of it, right?
Never heard of it. It was interesting because I'm thinking of the countries that don't want to publicize this information because it would interrupt their revenue from tourist travel. And that music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor, specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email, with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. We are talking about very little known infections that can have an extremely dangerous effect on your body, and no one's really talking about them. Dr. Slavin?
And we bring this up because it's interesting, number one. Luckily, it's not found in this country yet.
Okay, we don't necessarily know that it isn't found in this country. You think about the people who have traveled to Southeast Asia and Australia, and you said the incubation could be as long as 62 years.
Now, you know, here's how it works in Australia and Southeast Asia. It lives below the soil's surface during the dry season, but with heavy rainfall, it moves up to the surface, water and mud, and becomes airborne, and that's how people can inhale it. After entering the brain, so you breathe it in through your nose, which is very close to the brain. After entering the brain, it has a death rate of around 50% and is responsible for around 89,000 deaths every year, yet little is known about how it travels around the body. And part of the reason for that is doctors aren't even looking for it.
Dr. Slavin, what do you think the possibility is that someone might very well be infected with this microorganism, with this bacteria, and no one is ever looking for it? If you were to do a blood test, would you be able to identify the presence of this bacteria in your blood? How would somebody possibly know if they were carrying around that bacteria?
Well, I think the problem is, if you were to do the test for it, the patient would be dead before the results of the test came back. So you'll have to take a history, and if you're in the endemic area, I think you'd have to initiate treatment even before you know what's wrong. A lot of times, we do that here. If someone has symptoms of a urinary tract infection, you should do a culture and sensitivity to see what bacteria is causing it. But many times, if the patient is very symptomatic, you'll start them on an antibiotic just not to let it progress before initiating treatment. And then if you have to change antibiotics in a day or so, you will. But otherwise, you stay with the same one. Now, here's what they say, too. So in Southeast Asia and Australia, doctors in those areas are aware of this disease. And in Northeast Thailand, they say that a doctor is saying, I see 2 to 3 patients die of this during the rainy season every day.
Every day?
Every day. And that was a doctor who's a microbiologist with the University of Oxford and Mahindol University in Bangkok.
There is a very big expatriate location in Northeast Thailand, Chiang Mai. And so during the rainy season, your risk of being exposed to this bacteria is very high. And then you think about some of the people who live half the year in Chiang Mai and then come back to the United States. I'm thinking of all of the people who have very, very minimal and confusing symptoms. And I wonder, when we start looking for some of these obscure bacteria, what we might find.
And remember, too, it could lie dormant in your body. The longest known person was 60 years. or can incrementally create problems so it doesn't kill you quickly. So it has a vast array of presentations, makes it very difficult to diagnose. Now, this doctor said when he went to Indonesia, every lab we looked at, we found the disease. So that number of three people dying every day in the rainy season, they feel, is the minimum number. The disease has probably been killing people in these countries for years, but it's often missed. And the reason for that is because the symptoms are so nonspecific. Abscesses and fever and sepsis can all occur in other bacterial infections. That's why this particular bacteria that causes a disease known as mealyoidosis is known as the great mimicker, because it could look like a lot of other things.
Well, you think about how people might be dealing with a diagnosis of heart disease, circulatory disease, and you think that possibly having an initial infection with this bacteria might also make you more vulnerable to other bacterial and viral infections, and also do damage to other organs besides your brain and neurological system. And that people are getting diagnosed, and the underlying cause is something like this that we've never looked for.
But, you know, other bacterias, I'm not equating other bacterias with this bacteria, but other bacterias are known to be behind a lot of the illnesses that we treat symptomatically. Do you know that when you get a medication to lower your blood pressure, that's a symptomatic treatment? The symptom is high blood pressure. That's not the disease. Now, they go on to say that mealyoidosis is being misdiagnosed because especially in areas where the disease is not well known. And because of that and the delay in treatment, that's why you have a high death rate from it. But here's what's happening. It's worrying for areas outside of our research center, which is in northeastern Thailand. They say we know what's happening in many other areas of the world, like India, Brazil, and Indonesia. So it is spreading. And this bacteria called B. pseudomallei is naturally resistant to many commonly prescribed antibiotics. With good supporting care and access to proper medications, the fatalities drop to around 1 in 10, which is 10%.
So 10% is a pretty hefty number.
Right. Even with the best of treatments, 10%. They say most healthy adults are able to survive an infection with good care. Otherwise, death sets in quickly. There are many who have been treated with ineffective antibiotics for a period. And by the time the disease is confirmed, the patient has already passed away. See, that's the problem.
Okay. Many ineffective antibiotic treatments. And don't we already see that, Dr. Slavin, that some of the bacteria that people are dealing with have changed so dramatically that the antibiotic doesn't work at as high a percentage of kill-off of the bacteria as previously expected?
Well, there's a couple of things going on here. You're talking about resistant bacteria because of the overuse of antibiotics, not just in humans, but the overuse of antibiotics in livestock. And that's a real problem.
Then the other problem is the kill-off of the microbiome in humans because of overuse of antibiotics and in the animal products we consume. And that is a critically important initial response mechanism for your immune system. And it is neutralized.
Well, exactly. So if you're harboring this bacteria or many other bacteria in your body, remember, antibiotics are only effective against bacteria. So, you know, you're also harboring viruses in your body. You may harbor some fungi in your body. You may have even parasites in your body. And they don't have to give you symptoms. But when you take an antibiotic, for whatever reason you're taking it, and you have these other bacteria in your body, they're being exposed to a sublethal dose, which allows them to become resistant. Now,
Think about how many people take a couple of days of an antibiotic and then say, oh, I feel better. I'm not going to take the rest of the week or the other 14 days or whatever. And what are they doing in their bodies? Creating antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
Now, this bacteria, again, not here in Florida, not in the United States, primarily in northern Australia and Southeast Asia, but they're talking about it spreading to India, Brazil, and Indonesia. It doesn't spread from person to person, but in some parts of the world, it's extraordinarily ubiquitous. It's found everywhere. In parts of Northeast Thailand, they say up to half the population has been infected at some point. And these people carry antibodies to the bacteria. So that would be a smart thing to do, is check people to see if they've been exposed to it, because it may not be causing a problem today, but if you've got it in your body, it may decide to give you problems down the line.
So if you wanted to check your blood, you would check for the antibodies for this bacteria, and that is, you're able to do that.
Most of the lab work that's done to check for viruses or bacteria are looking for antibodies. There are tests that look for the antigen, namely either the bacteria or the virus that's present, and that's where they'll do a viral count. Or if they'll do a culture and sensitivity, they try and grow out the bacteria.
And all of those testing procedures are available at advanced medical testing centers. Is that correct, Dr. Slavin?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, here's something very interesting. In 1993... scientists in Thailand put this bacteria, B. pseudomallei, with pure distilled water. So just put the bacteria in distilled water. And each year for at least 16 years, they tested the water and found the bacteria has survived without anything to sustain it. That's amazing.
Wow. But, you know, the more you do investigation into these kinds of things, it's very interesting, but there are a lot of organisms that have that capacity to resist extreme conditions. The organisms that live in the poles, the Arctic and Antarctic, the rainy season, dry season. We see it in a lot of different organisms.
Now, in this country, they say the disease has primarily been studied as a potential bioterrorism agent.
Okay, so in the United States you're talking about.
Right. The U.S. government funds research on how to prevent or treat B. pseudomallei in several labs around the country.
We'll
have more about this after we come back.
Very, very interesting information, Dr. Slavin. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned for more, ways to support your good health.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care. Reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world, that allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard, just west of the Florida Turnpike, or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Kind of a scary subject we're talking about today, Dr. Slavin. But as usual, when we have something that has the potential to be worrying to our listeners, there are answers and there are solutions. And my viewpoint is the basics, and you start with nutrition. You start with a health-supporting diet.
Here's something interesting. So we're talking about B. pseudomallei, the cause of amyloidosis, which is a deadly bacterial infection. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in this country shut down studies on the bacterium at Tulane University National Primate Research Center last year after the bacteria breached containment and infected two non-human primates. It means other...
Right.
Monkeys or gorillas or whatever they're using over there.
Chimpanzees, which is not a good thing.
So what they're predicting is the bacteria could survive in southern Louisiana's hot, wet terrain, but so far soil and water samples have turned up clean. B. pseudomallei would most likely be weaponized by an aerial route because that's how you get exposed to it. You breathe it in. And it's much more dangerous when you contract it that way. The lethal dose drops dramatically if given by an aerosol route, so there are real concerns about bioterrorism use by an aerosol. A close relative of this bacterium called B. mallei or glanders was used in World War I and II originally to injure and kill horses and mules, and some human handlers fell ill as well. The name amyloidosis means a distemper of asses in Greek, refers to the bacteria's ability to infect animals. And so that's where it stands. So I just point this out, that bacteria, I think we underestimate the potential impact that bacteria has on all of us. And not just bacteria, other infectious agents, viruses, fungi, and
parasites. I think that... humans have for a long time mistakenly had the viewpoint that they were at the top of the organisms on planet Earth. And the truth of the matter might be very different because we might have the most lengthy period of time before we adapt to changing circumstances where bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungi, all of those microorganisms have a potential to adapt very, very quickly. The thing is, their reproduction rate would be dramatically different, and their ability to, through that rapid reproduction, to adapt to changing circumstances would be dramatic. And so we have information about how to go about testing for these microorganisms, and then there is the ability to overcome almost all of these bacteria, viruses, parasites, and so on.
This is why, you know, when someone is sick, a travel history is so important.
Right.
Because, you know, if you're outside of your immediate area, see, doctors don't automatically think of these exotic illnesses, but if you've been traveling, outside the country, then you have to think about it. Now, the reason it's so hard to diagnose amyloidosis infection is because it presents like so many other infections. You could have localized pain or swelling, fever, ulceration, abscess, cough, chest pain, headache, poor appetite.
Your liver is affected, so your digestion may present certain symptoms. And so could be any number of different things. One of the things, talking about traveling outside of the country, Dr. Slavin, what's one of the things that we tell people when you're leaving the country, when you're leaving the vicinity that you've lived in for any number of years, don't drink the water. And why do you think that is? Because you're exposed to something different, something that your body has not yet adapted to. So
now, this is the next statement is not just true about this bacteria, but a lot of infectious diseases. The time between an exposure to this bacteria that causes the disease and the emergence of symptoms is not clearly defined, but may range from one day to many years. Generally, symptoms appear 2 to 4 weeks after exposure. It makes it very difficult to assign what you have to how you feel today. That's why it's so difficult to nail down vaccines as a problem, because the symptoms they cause could go, later, weeks later, months later, even years later. Now, healthy people are obviously more resistant to these diseases. So the people at greatest risk are those with diabetes, liver disease, renal disease, thalassemia, or conditions that suppress your immune system or associated with immune suppression like cancer or chronic lung disease. So just an interesting thing, but the whole idea was to make people more aware of the potential impact of bacteria. Now, there was another big headline. It was kind of interesting. Another area that mainstream medicine totally ignores, and they use the word here again, preclinical, which is like subclinical. In other words, before you become symptomatic. And the headline was high prevalence of preclinical heart failure in the population.
Wow. And very understandable. So your organs that are vulnerable to these microorganisms, they are not being identified in your body, and the damage continues.
So according to a recent study of Framingham study participants, nearly 60% of people have prevalent preclinical heart failure, stages A and B. When we say preclinical, means they have no symptoms.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, does the heart rate variability test that you do here in the Institute of Advanced Medicine give you a little bit of insight into preclinical heart issues?
You will see indications of a cardiovascular problem, but there are a couple other tests. I just want to get into a little about preclinical heart failure, because patients don't go to their doctor with preclinical heart failure because it's asymptomatic. They go to the doctor once they have the heart failure. That can present if it's a left-sided failure with fluid accumulating in your lungs. Right-sided heart failure presents with a swelling of your extremities. And you can have shortness of breath in either, weight gain if you're accumulating fluid. Heart failure occurs when the heart muscle is weakened and cannot pump enough blood to meet the body's needs for blood and oxygen. Now, like I said, I mentioned right and left heart failure, because depending what side of the heart it affects, you're going to have different symptoms.
I think that is important to possibly repeat, because there are people out there who may be dealing with one or the other and not understand the critical importance of evaluating these symptoms. So would you say that again, Dr. Slavin, the right side and the left side heart, the different symptoms?
Okay, so the left side heart failure is where the blood will, because the heart stopped pumping out blood into the rest of the body, it'll back up into your lungs. So that's where you become short of breath and you develop what's called pulmonary edema. When it's right-sided heart failure, you get peripheral edema. So your legs swell up, you might get swelling in your liver. But nobody is looking for preclinical heart failure. So I'm going to suggest a few tests that are available. By the way, so preclinical heart failure, an echocardiogram will show a normal ejection fraction at this point. You may have a slightly diminished ejection fraction and be asymptomatic, so you should still have an echocardiogram anyway.
What number are people looking for an optimal level of ejection fraction?
They usually say above 50% is considered okay. So when it drops below 50%, you ought to start looking for reasons.
Okay.
Now, just some of the things that cause heart failure. You have coronary artery disease. And you can have coronary artery disease and not have heart failure. I think what happens is if it's severe enough and you have diminished blood flow to the heart, that can weaken it. Or, of course, coronary artery disease can lead to heart attacks, which damage the heart muscle. So that's a reason. High blood pressure can weaken the heart muscle over time.
I'm just going to say sometimes that damage to the heart muscle is scarring, and that with very high doses of quality vitamin E and the full spectrum vitamin E, not just D-alpha tocopherol, but all of the tocopherols, and then enhancing even that with the tocotrienols, you have the potential to minimize scarring and reestablish functional activity of that muscle.
So other risk factors are diabetes, smoking, excessive alcohol use, drug abuse, stress, some over-the-counter medications and prescription medications, and even dietary supplements and herbal remedies. I think the dietary supplements we're talking about are the ones that people use for weight loss.
Oh, okay. Well, fenfen, that combination for years was associated with heart issues in the women who use that prescription combination.
Now, so when people have those conditions that we just mentioned, so they're at greater risk. Doesn't mean they have it, but they're at risk for it, and typically doctors just wait for the condition to set in. Because their whole approach is, when you get sick, we'll treat it.
Right,
instead of preventing
right.
The problem.
Right. Well, we'll watch it, come back in 3 months, and we'll see what has developed, is a very common phrase. Dr. Slavin, I have a question, and it might not necessarily be appropriate to answer in today's show, but something that we could be talking about. I am seeing more and more and more individuals with atrial fibrillation, and I'm thinking, what's happening? Why are those people experiencing almost uncontrollable in some of the patients and occasional in other patients atrial fibrillation?
Well, I think one of the major explanations is low magnesium. So you have to make sure that your magnesium levels are not just within range, but optimal. So if you're not taking, because I routinely check patients for magnesium, and if they're not taking it, they're usually low, because there are so many competing substances in the environment that will interfere with magnesium absorption.
And that music means that it's time for our last break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come. Jana Juice is the innovative way to get the benefits of super juices in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Pomegranate benefits without the sugar. Acai, noni, goji berry in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Easy to carry with you to work, when traveling, or just too busy to juice. Antioxidant and immune support benefits in capsules. Find out more at janazon.com.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
If you're looking for an easy-to-use probiotic, a probiotic that covers all of the needs for your colon chemistry, look no further than Janabiotic. You'll find the comprehensive spectrum of beneficial microflora to support your overall good health. One or two capsules every day gives your body the necessary probiotic profile. The profile of ingredients with the beneficial effects for mood, immunity, and absorption of nutrients. Find out more at Janazon.com. And welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. Just another reminder that on Saturday, July 16th at 10 in the morning, you can come here to the Institute of Advanced Medicine to a very special seminar. It starts at 10, and please to let us know that you're coming, 954-748-4991. And Dr. Slavin will be making a presentation. But before Dr. Slavin, I'll be talking to you about good nutrition.
So the last part, we mentioned how 60% of the population has preclinical heart failure. In other words, they don't have it yet, but they are potentially at risk for it. And another aspect of heart failure is cardiomyopathy. That's when the heart muscle becomes weak, and they usually say, well, we don't really know why.
Might it be because it's lacking the certain nutrients that allow the heart to function and help to maintain muscle density?
Could be that. We know that there's an increase in congestive heart failure in people taking statin drugs. But I want to point out here that...
And yet billions are being taken in dollars every year by the producers of statin drugs in spite of the damage that they do.
Now, you can have heart infections, and they call it, depending upon what part of the heart is affected, pericarditis, endocarditis, myocarditis. And those are potentially caused by either a bacteria or a virus or a parasite.
Or nutritional deficiencies, well, the nutritionist.
And then other problems, they say rheumatic fever, that's an infection. Other infections, connective tissue disorders, potentially caused by an infection. So the whole point is, you know, nobody is looking for these, the preclinical heart failure. So I'm going to mention a few tests. One is the ADMA test, which we've spoken about before, the asymmetric dimethyl arginine. And if that's elevated, that's a very early warning sign of a potential problem. So if you see that elevated, you know, look further. Another test.
Where would you look further?
Well, I would look for infections. You could evaluate the cardiovascular system as well. Echocardiogram. You just see if you can find, you know, what's going on. Ultimately, what you want to do is, you know, to strengthen the cardiovascular system. You mentioned vitamin E, coenzyme Q10. Magnesium. These are all important nutrients for the heart. But you also have to look for potential infections in there because that can be a contributing factor as well. And then another test.
Dr. Slavin, yes. Here's what I'm going to say. You look for infectious microorganisms, mm-hmm. but do you have to know what you're looking for? Because here's that strange
Well, that's a good
bacteria.
Point. So, you know, like I've said, a lot of times when we can't find a reason for the patient's symptoms, we go ahead and treat them with the UVLRX, which is a polychromatic intravenous light therapy. Totally, I would say, no risks involved. It's not going to upset your microbiome like antibiotics will, but it will strengthen your immune system, and it will address not just bacteria like antibiotics can, but viruses, parasites, fungi. So it could be very effective. It does two things. It, as I mentioned, strengthens the immune system, kills infectious agents, and improves blood flow to the tissues. Another test, TMAO, can also be used if you test for it. Trimethylamine N-oxide. If that's elevated, that's another warning sign of potential problems down the line. And the galectin-3. So these are a couple of tests that just identify people at potential risk need to be monitored a little more closely.
So I'm going to say, if you have been to the doctor and had a blood test and your C-reactive protein is high, indicating that you're dealing with inflammation somewhere, investigation shouldn't stop there. It needs to go to the next deeper level.
Another test, the NT-proBNP, another warning sign of perhaps clinical and preclinical heart failure. So you just want to identify these people and be a little aggressive before they come down with clinical heart failure, because the mortality rate is very high with that condition.
Okay, so for a very long time, we've been talking about the benefits of doing chelation therapy and the damage that is associated with heavy metal intoxication and the toll that it takes on heart function. And so now here is an entire additional realm to investigate further where the threats to your health and well-being may be coming from. You don't necessarily have to feel anything before you are dealing with damage to your organs.
I think that's the key. So if I were to ask the question, why do we get sick? We get sick before we feel something. We get sick before we have symptoms, and that's the problem with our whole healthcare system. Because it's based on waiting for you to get sick.
Disease.
Right. So it's not health care. It's disease care. So I'm trying to alert everybody to be aware of the potential to improve how you take care of yourself so you can really do a better job preventing illness.
As you say very frequently, just because you feel good doesn't mean you're not sick. And so optimize all of the potential to remain well with understanding these preclinical threats.
And what we've been speaking about today really isn't alternative medicine. It's just applying what medicine alludes to frequently. For example, they look for a high blood pressure, totally asymptomatic condition. But the only reason they look for that is they've got drugs to sell you for it. See, when they don't have a drug for you, they don't look for it. For example, elevated homocysteine levels. They don't do that test. They don't bother with it because they don't have a drug to address the problem. It's addressed with certain B vitamins.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. Very important for people to understand that you can address an elevated homocysteine with B12 and folate, but you need the entire B complex. And underlying what you need is a highly functional microbiome, because without that chemistry in your gut, your ability to metabolize and actually benefit from the B vitamins is compromised.
They address cholesterol because, number one, they can measure it, and number two, they have a drug to lower it. But where's the proof? There is none that cholesterol is what's causing heart disease. Cholesterol is the body's response to coronary artery disease, not the cause of it. And very likely the initial cause is a microtrauma to the arteries brought on by perhaps a vitamin C deficiency, which is very prevalent, not enough to cause scurvy, but enough to diminish collagen production and allow the blood vessels to be weaker. That's not addressed.
So that inflammation on the interior of the blood vessels, what happens then? Your body responds with an increase in LDL. What do the doctors tell you about your LDL? That's the dangerous one. That's the bad one. But what I try to tell people, LDL is being produced by your body to cover up that inflammation that's a result of damage to the interior of your blood vessels.
If you were to look at the statistics associated with heart disease and go back to when statins were first introduced, I think you'll see no real impact of statin drugs and the incidence of heart disease.
But had an increase in depression and the number of prescriptions possibly being written for depression. And do you know that Dr. Slavin, the statistics say that suicide is at an all-time high here in the United States. And what is one of the impacts of statin drugs? It's an increase in thoughts of suicide.
Well, okay, it also causes amnesia, or so cognitive problems. It increases the risk of diabetes. And when you lower your cholesterol, since all your hormones are derived from cholesterol, you're having a negative impact on hormone production in your body. If you want to lower your cholesterol, change your eating habits. What increased the incidence of high cholesterol is when they told you go on a low-fat diet, because then everybody switched to high carbohydrates, and that's what raises cholesterol levels. So go back eating healthy fats, cut back on the carbs, and you'll see your cholesterol numbers drop again.
Okay, and keeping in mind that a balanced cholesterol level is achieved, number one, with a high-quality diet, but also not necessarily focusing on any artificial means of manipulating your cholesterol, and that cholesterol is not the main contributing factor to the development of heart disease.
Plus, again, they've used the scare tactic, a creation of fear, to get people to take these drugs. If you were to do a heart scan looking for a calcium score, you'll find a lot of people being treated for high cholesterol have no sign of coronary artery disease.
And that music, Dr. Slavin, means we're out of time for today, and we will be back tomorrow at 10 with more on Natural Doc Radio. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.